Hi, everybody.
And welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons Guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody.
So, how many kids already checked out?
It's not really bad right now. But you have more seniors than I do. They're checked out.
Mm-hmm.
I still have things to do.
So. Yes, yes. Mine are like, sir, when's the final? We want to take them, we can get out.
If I would, I could.
That's not up to me, kids. That's not up to me.
We have a schedule to follow.
Yep. All right.
It's not going too bad.
Yeah. I guess it could be worse. It could be...
Could be August.
Yeah, the hellscape that is August. 105 degrees, 100% humidity.
And then going back to work.
Going back to work.
Exactly. So, yeah. We're good.
Yeah. All right. So, we are here to discuss the next episode in the Simpsons saga. And this one is titled Lisa's Rival. So, it wouldn't be a surprise if it's a Lisa-heavy episode.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm.
It is the second episode in the sixth season, and it originally aired on September 11th of 1994. And we're going to start with the traditional chalkboard and couch gags.
So we see Bart in detention writing, "No one is interested in my underpants."
I second that.
Yes, I agree.
I wonder what he was doing, running around in his underpants or selling them?
Showing them off or something. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Then we get to the couch gag, and we see the living room, but there's water everywhere, and the couch is on its own little island. And then we see all the heads of the Simpsons characters, especially Marge, right?
Yes.
Sticking out of the water, and I think it's Bart that has a snorkel on.
Uh-huh.
And then they all jump onto the couch, right? And Bart throws off his snorkel, and that's how they get to the couch.
Yes.
I like that.
It was a nice one. It's original. I hadn't seen that one.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good start to this episode when you got two fresh gags.
Yes, indeed.
So we're going to open up this particular episode with Lisa practicing her sax. Apparently in her room, Bart doesn't seem to appreciate it because he comes in and he says, "Lisa, will you keep it down? I'm making a crank phone call to Principal Skinner."
And then you hear Skinner on the phone saying, "Well, as a matter of fact, my refrigerator wasn't running. You've spared me quite a bit of spoilage. Thank you, anonymous young man."
And then Bart isn't too happy and just goes, "Dope!"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Skinner's a square, of course.
Yeah.
It's not the last we'll hear about Skinner in this episode.
No, it isn't.
And so Lisa just snaps back at Bart and says, "It's her room and she can do what she wants."
And then Bart goes, "Oh, yeah? Well, I can go and do what I want in my room." And then he goes over to his room and he lays down and he starts to kick his wall, which is, of course, adjacent to Lisa.
Mm-hmm. And then you see Lisa's room and books are starting to come off the shelves and everything's shaking. You just hear the banging.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, yells, "Bart, quit it!"
And Bart is busy reading Bad Boy's Life. Apparently that's a thing in Springfield.
I guess so, right?
And he just says, "I can keep this up all day."
Yeah. So Lisa says, whatever. She goes down to the garage. We cut to her in the garage. And she's playing in there. But then, of course, Homer is there and he tells her, "Lisa, stop that racket. I'm trying to fix your mother's camera." And he's not doing a very good job.
So he's got a drill
over
the camera and a hammer over the drill, which defeats the purpose of the drill, I think.
None of these make sense so far.
Uh-uh.
And then he tells himself, "Easy, easy." And then he taps the drill. Camera shatters.
Mm-hmm.
And Homer's conclusion to this is, "I'm going to need a bigger drill."
A bigger drill would have really solved that problem right there. So then we cut inside the house, and Maggie is coloring with some magic markers while Marge is reading a romance novel. So she starts to daydream about being on a ship with a really tanned, muscular hunk.
Yes, fellow. Uh-huh. Yeah. And she's wearing like black lipstick and
stuff. Yes, black lipstick. Her cleavage is out.
Yes.
In full force.
And so she tells the guy, "My, these seas are certainly heaving."
And the pirate guy goes, "Well, no more than your bountiful bosoms, m'lady."
And Marge does her laugh. And then she asks, "Does that earring mean you're a pirate?" Because he has the earring on his right ear.
And the guy goes, "Kinda." Yeah, we'll talk about that later, kids. And then he says, "Ah, the seas have quieted, and only in the sweet embrace of quietude can two lovers truly be."
And you hear the sax playing in the background.
And then he goes, "Ooh, such noise. Well, I'm done for the evening," and he walks away.
And Marge snaps back to reality, and she goes, "Lisa, stop blowing my sex. I mean, stop blowing your sax. Your sax. Stop it."
And before we move on, yeah, they really snuck that.
There's a lot in
they
this
snuck
part.
That pirate joke in there.
Oh yeah, they did.
Yeah, and if you guys don't get it,
we're not gonna explain.
We're not gonna explain it. Maybe you ask your dad.
Yeah, very surprised the Disney execs missed that one.
Yes, very very off brand joke.
Off brand joke.
Uh huh.
Funny as hell, though.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And then Marge is...
Marge, yeah.
Her imagination here.
Yeah.
See? I tell the guys...
Marge.
I tell the guys, yeah, they're pretty, right? Women are pretty, right? But they're still just like you. They're just in
human
better
beings.
Packages. Just like you in better packages. So if you think they can do no wrong, there's something wrong with you.
That's a good way. We're all human beings.
Yes. And Marge certainly proves it here.
Yes, she does.
So anyway, Lisa goes, "Mom, I'm auditioning for first chair in the school band and I've got to practice."
And Marge says, "I'm sorry, but I sacrificed a very expensive camera just to get some quiet time."
Marge really wants to read this book.
I know. And just to get Homer away.
Yes.
Fix the camera.
So then even Maggie can't stand the noise. And we see her pull out two pacifiers and she... shoves them in her ears and she starts to like suck on her pacifier, which causes the other pacifiers to go in and out of her ear too.
Yeah.
And Lisa goes, "Fine, I'll go play outside."
Yeah. And so she's outside playing and you can hear the music, and then we cut to
the Flanders house.
And Ned is sitting there on his chair reading and the kids are playing Rod and Todd. Flanders just says, "Hey, what that sounds like? What that sounds like? Gabriel's trumpet. You know what that means, kids."
And then both Rod and Todd both go,
"Yay! Judgment Day!" Now this is very cult like.
Yeah, I mean your kids are excited for the end of the world here.
I mean, I guess they know they're going to heaven, but if that's the case. But
hey, look, the concept of death doesn't scare me. The process of dying does.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what the hell these...
I don't know, man.
I'd be terrified.
A little cult-like at the Flanders house on that one.
Yes. A little too cult-like. That is correct. So, anyway, next thing we know, we're in Miss Hoover's classroom, and the kids are taking a quiz. Miss Hoover goes, 45 seconds till pencils down.
And Ralph whispers to Lisa, "Lisa, what's the answer to number 7?
And Lisa kind of goes to Ralph, "Sorry, Ralph. That would defeat the purpose of testing as a means of student evaluation."
Then Ralph just pauses and says, "My cat's name is Mittens."
By the way, not that I'm in favor of kids cheating.
Yeah.
But Lisa just sounds like a real square.
Yeah, just say no.
Yeah, that's all
buzz
you
gotta
off. Say. Don't give him a long, detailed explanation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get out of here.
Yeah. So next thing we know, we see Miss Hoover... and she is counting down the last seconds until the pencils are down. And the students all groan when it's over.
Yes, yes, yes. And so Ms. Hoover says, "Now, here's an oral extra credit question. What was Christopher Columbus actually looking for when he discovered America?"
Lisa, of course, puts her hands up and she's like, "Ooh, ooh." Kind of like Horshack from Welcome Back, Carter.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Hoover is like, "Anyone besides Lisa for a change?"
And then Ralph puts up his hands, right? He's like, "Ooh, ah!"
"Ralph, this better not be about your cat."
Then he puts his hand in and goes, oh.
And so Miss Hoover's about to call on Lisa. She's like, all right, Lisa. And before she can call on her.
This new kid.
We hear a voice, yes.
We hear a voice of this new kid that we haven't met before. And she's like, Columbus was looking for a passage to India.
Miss Hoover says, correct, Allison. And on your very first day in class.
And then Allison goes, and during the subsequent voyage, Columbus found what is now the continent of South America.
Miss Hoover is impressed. She says, yowee.
And Lisa is not liking this at all.
Nope.
She says, I've never made Miss Hoover yowee. Mm-hmm. You can see the nervousness
yep.
in her eyes and her body language right away.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
And so we cut to lunchtime, and Lisa decides to approach Allison. So she introduces herself. Mm-hmm. I'm Lisa Simpson. It's great to finally meet someone who converses above the normal 8-year-old level.
And then Allison goes, actually, I'm 7. I was just skipped ahead because I was getting bored in the first grade.
Yep. And Lisa's like, you're younger than me too? And you can tell she's worried now. And she holds her paper bag lunch up to her mouth and starts breathing in and out. And Allison asks her, like, are you hyperventilating?
To which Lisa says, no. I just like to smell my lunch. What a lame excuse.
Yeah, I know. And so Lisa's like, I've never met anyone who's skipped a grade before.
And Allison's like, I'm surprised you haven't been skipped. You're obviously smart enough.
And so Lisa tries to play it off. She's like, oh, I'm sure I could have, but I'd hate to leave all, you know, behind my wonderful friends.
At this point, Sarah walks past her. She says, out of the way, brain queen. And she pushes Lisa over, right?
Yeah, Lisa's just like, hey, Sarah. So terrible. And so Lisa says, well, I gotta go. I have to practice for band auditions.
And Allison's like, me too. Hey, what instrument do you play?
The sax.
Me too.
And Lisa says, I'm going for first chair this year.
Me too.
And then Lisa's just like, wow, we have so much in common. I'm sure we'll be the best of friends.
And Allison goes, me too.
Me too. Lisa's just completely off it now.
Yes.
Yeah, you can tell. She's very threatened by this girl.
By the way, since we're, this is a pop culture show, let's talk about current pop culture.
Mm.
Have you, did you run across the Me Poo hashtag?
No. No, I have not.
Yeah, it's directly related to the Johnny Depp Me Amber
Poo?
Heard.
Oh my God.
Amber Heard trial.
I didn't see the fake movie poster though. For 21 Dump Street.
Yes, yes. Yeah, but it was hashtag Me Poo.
Me Poo.
Yes.
Wow. I'm scared. I don't want to go down that. Now that I'm looking at Twitter again.
Yes. It's a little weird now.
What's that one rabbit hole not to go down? Vegan.
Oh, yeah. Vegan cat.
Yeah.
Hashtag vegan.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Anyway, something that's not vegan now. Homer.
Yes.
So we cut to Homer, who's eating a slice of pizza in the car while the car's moving with two hands.
Yeah, I mean, he's got pizza in both hands and the car is moving somehow, and then we see who's on the steering wheel.
Bart is on the steering wheel, and he's telling Homer, hurry up and finish eating.
And Homer's like, you're steering fine, boy. Hard to the right.
Oh.
Hard to the left.
Oh.
Cat. Deer. Old man.
And we see the old man is Abe Simpson diving out of the way. He's off the road.
Yes.
That's such a terrible thing for Homer to do to Bart.
Because you see that you actually hear the cat going meow. Meow.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I'm not going to say it's meow. How would you describe that noise?
Screech.
Yeah. The cat screeches. We see the little deer antlers and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
It's really bad.
And then we see a grandpa diving out of the way. All while Homer's eating his pizza. But then Homer sees something else.
Yes.
He shouts out, jackknife sugar truck, sugar, and he pushes on the brakes.
Yeah.
And who happens to be driving this overturned sugar truck?
None other than the legend Hans Molman.
So Homer parks And he gets out of the car, right? And he goes up to the truck. He says, "Don't worry, buddy. Here's a quarter. Call for help at the nearest phone. I'll keep an eye on things here."
And then Han says, "If only the sugar were as sweet as you, sir." And he walks off.
And Bart is like, "Homer, that was downright decent of you."
And Homer says, "We've hit the jackpot here. White gold. Texas tea. Sweetener."
So next thing we know, we see Homer shoveling sugar into his trunk.
Real quick, though, for the ones that are too young, that was a Beverly Hillbillies reference.
Yes.
Supposed to be black gold, which is oil. Yeah. And yes, Texas tea. Yeah. Just here, for yeah, y'all that don't know.
Yeah, here is white gold and then Texas tea, sweetener.
That's pretty good, man. It's good play. So yeah, Homer's shoveling the sugar into the trunk now.
And Bart's like, "Dad, isn't this stealing?"
And Homer says, "Read your town charter, boy." And he quotes it. "If foodstuffs should touch the ground, said foodstuffs shall be turned over to the village idiot. Since I don't see him around, start shoveling."
That's a very ironic statement.
Yeah, nobody told him.
Yeah, nobody's told him yet.
I mean, they did call him slow the other day.
What do you mean, slow? So Homer fills the car up with sugar, and not just the trunk.
Yeah, it's all in the back seat. Bart, you can barely see. He's trying to breathe.
Yeah, he's having trouble breathing through the sugar.
Yeah.
So then we come back to the Simpsons house, and Marge is still trying to make this pirate daydream happen.
Yeah, she is.
And she's like sighing dreamily.
Yeah. And then Lisa comes in and says, "Mom."
Marge's like, "What? What?"
And she says, "Why am I still rotting away in the second grade instead of being skipped ahead?"
Marge's like, "I don't know, honey. I guess that's what school school's decision to make."
Yeah. And then Lisa's like, "Well, did you ever talk to anybody at school? Make a few calls on my behalf? Maybe you could have been nicer to Principal Skinner, if you know what I mean." Wow.
Yeah. She wants her mom to give herself away.
That's terrible.
Uh-huh. So Marge's like, "Lisa, I am nice." I guess she didn't get the connotation.
Yeah. But Lisa, man, her insecurities, when they get to her, they get to her.
Yep. She's willing to do anything. Well, at least have her mom do anything for her, right? So then we're at the dinner table later that night, and Marge is like, "Homer, I really appreciate you making dinner, but this stuff tastes a little strange."
Yeah, Lisa says, "It hurts my teeth."
And Homer's like, "That's because I've loaded it with sugar." And he holds up a bag. He holds up a bag that says Farmer Homer's Sweet, Sweet Sugar on it. And he even drew his little face on it.
Yeah.
And he says, "Marge, our ship has come in. I found 500 pounds of sugar in the forest."
Yeah, he's real sly, like winking at Bart.
"That I'm going to sell directly to the consumer, all for the low, low price of $1 per pound."
And then Marge comes in and says, "But the grocery store sells sugar for 35 cents a pound."
And then Lisa says, "And it doesn't come with nails and broken glass in it."
And Homer says, "Those are prizes." And he eats a mouthful. And then he gets a prize and he pulls it out of his mouth and he goes, "Ooh, a blasting cap." Wow.
Yes. Very dangerous.
Very dangerous. If that thing went off, that would have been bad news for Homer.
Mm-hmm. So next thing we know, we're back at school, apparently in the band hall,
yes,
because the kids are trying to audition. And we even see Uter there.
Yes.
And he's got this strange big-ass horn.
Yeah, the mountain horn.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Ricola guys back in the day.
Ricola.
That's an old commercial, man.
Yes. Look it up, kids. Look it up.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mr. Largo is, of course, he's in charge. He says, "It's your turn, Jimbo."
Jimbo walks up. He's got a tambourine in his hand. Then he hits it once. He goes, "Ugh." You hear it chime.
And then Largo goes, "Someone's been practicing over the summer. Welcome aboard."
Jimbo's excited. He goes, "Yes." And he walks off. And as he walks off, he hits Martin in the head with the tambourine.
And Martin's like, "Ow, my lute." Yeah. Because he was going to audition to play a lute in the school band. And apparently it caused him to drop the lute and it broke.
And so I was like, yeah, whatever. And so then he calls up. He says, now we have Lisa Simpson auditioning for first tier saxophone. Right? And so Lisa plays a little bit, you know, sounds nice. And he even says so. He's like, okay, very nice. Now Allison Taylor also trying for first tier saxophone. And then she starts playing something a little more difficult.
Yeah.
And Mr. Largo says, oh, this is a very tough decision, girls. You're both very good.
And then Allison starts to play again to try to make the point that she's better than Lisa.
And but, the kids are now there, right? And they're clapping after she's done. And he says, well, I guess that clinches that. But Lisa starts improvising and soloing. And the children start clapping again. And then they start dueling. And they're just playing back and forth in harmonies.
Yeah, and then Allison extends her notes as long as she can.
And then Lisa does the same.
But it didn't work out too well for Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa passes out. She falls off the stage.
So next thing we know, we see, I guess what's Lisa, right? Somebody opening up their eyes.
Yes, and it's Mr. Largo. He's there above her. And he says, oh, that was a close one, Lisa, but you made it.
And then Lisa goes, I won first chair.
He's like, no, you regained consciousness. Allison got first chair.
And then she screams and passes out again.
Yeah.
And she starts opening up her eyes. And she says, oh, it was just a dream.
And Mr. Largo's there again. He says, oh, that was a close one, Lisa, but you made it.
And she goes, I won first chair.
No, you regained consciousness. Allison got first chair. And believe me, this is not a dream.
And Lisa screams.
Yes.
That was a very
traumatic sequence for Lisa.
So next thing we know, we open up the next scene with Marge drying the dishes in the kitchen, and Lisa walks in and she goes, I need help, Mom. There's another girl at school who's smarter, younger, and a better sax player than me. Ooh, I feel so average.
And Marge says, well, you'll always be number one to me.
And Bart walks past just as he says this. And he goes, ahem, hello, firstborn within earshot.
And Marge says, I meant my number one girl.
And then Maggie is down there. She's tugs on her dress. And she's like, what about me? Right?
Yeah. And Marge's like, oh, for crying out. Oh, she says, okay, honey, if you get too competitive, you'll never be happy. No matter how good you are, there's always going to be someone better than you. I always thought I had the tallest hair. But that trip to Graceland really opened my eyes.
Yeah, so when I was in training for the Army, I was stationed in Fort Gordon, which happens to be in Augusta, Georgia, home of the Masters, right?
Yeah.
So it's very, very nice place to be. But it was also kind of weird because, like, we finally got some freedoms and we decided to go down to the movies on Sunday. And we went in, right? There was nobody there. The movie's over, and we walk out. And it's a sea of women and little girls in their Sunday best. Really, they're really thin, the women and the girls. And they've got this big-ass beehive-type hair.
Really?
All of them. It's like I stepped into the Twilight Zone or something.
What was that about?
I don't know. And it was every Sunday.
It was every Sunday.
Every Sunday. They would all hang out there, dressed in their Sunday best.
Big old Amy Winehouse beehive?
Yes.
Wow.
Very weird.
You ever found out what that was? It was just...
I was too scared to ask.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Oh, my goodness. And yes, if you don't know where Graceland is, that's Elvis's residence.
In Tennessee.
Tennessee, yes. And then so Lisa says she's better than me at everything that makes me special.
And Marge goes, oh, believe me, honey. She's more scared of you than you are of her.
And Lisa, smart aleck, Marge says, you're thinking bears, Mom. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So then we cut to Homer.
And his shenanigans.
Yes. And he's going door to door selling sugar. You notice he's also sneaking some.
Yeah, he's eating it every chance he gets.
So then Homer rings the doorbell. He goes, Sugar Man! And he's still eating it out of the bag. Right?
And he's at Skinner's house. And Principal Skinner answers the door and he says, door-to-door sugar? What a marvelous idea!
And we hear a voice in the background.
What's that, mother? I'm just talking to the sugar man, mother. I'm a big boy. I can do as I wish. And then he tells Homer, excuse me. And he slams the door. And then he opens the door. He says, thanks a lot, Simpson. Now I'm grounded.
Wow. 40 plus year old man.
Yeah.
Letting his mama ground him.
Vietnam vet.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Not such a badass right now.
No, not at all.
So next thing we know, there's another quiz in Miss Hoover's class. And Ralph is like, hey, Allison, what's the answer to number 9?
Allison says, I can't tell you, Ralph.
And then Lisa goes, I can't tell you either, Ralph.
And Ralph looks at Lisa in disgust and says, leave me alone. That's so bad.
Oh, my God. So
to be fair, she did break his heart.
She did.
So.
apparently, he's still not over that, right? So next thing we know, we're at recess, and three bigger girls are pushing Allison to the ground, calling her Brainiac, Nerd, Geekazoid, and they push her in the mud, right?
And Lisa's just sort of like longing, like, that used to be me that got pushed around. Wow.
And Bart happens to be around. Lisa's like, I can't stand to see you so miserable, Lise. Unless there's a rubber spider down your dress. That gives me an idea. And he pulls out a pocket tape recorder and he presses the record. And it's like, note for later. Put rubber spider down Lisa's dress. And he laughs and he turns the recorder off. And he turns to Lisa, but then he turns back around. He turns on the recorder again and he keeps laughing. And then he stops once again. Why did he feel the need to document his laughter?
I don't know, man.
So then he goes, hey, I know. How about I dig up some dirt on Allison? Remember how I got Milhouse pictured on America's Most Wanted?
And as he says that, you see two agents in sunglasses driving up and they see Milhouse. And then you hear the person say, there he is on the monkey bars.
And then the other agent goes, try to take him alive.
And then Milhouse notices and he goes, oh no, not again. And he takes off, right?
These guys drive, they run over the freaking jungle gym.
Yeah. And Milhouse jumps off of it. Really cool.
Yep. So then Lisa kind of declines Bart's offer, right? And then, of course, all that is happening with Milhouse, right, in the background. And then Lisa's like, I appreciate the offer, but it goes against every moral fiber in my body.
Yeah. And Bart says, suit yourself. If you change your mind, here's my card.
And Lisa's like, I don't need a card. You live in the room next to me.
And then Bart gets the tape recorder again. He says, note, next year, order fewer cards. So the younger ones won't remember this, but that was a thing for a while. People that had tape recorders.
Yeah. They made notes for themselves.
So yeah.
They wouldn't forget. Then they brought out the Palm Pilot.
Yeah.
How long was that around?
Not that long, but it was around for a little while.
Yeah.
But do you remember when the tape recorder got really famous? I mean, you were too old for it at the time, but I think I was the perfect age for it. When second Home Alone movie came out.
Oh, yeah.
And he had his tape recorder with all the effects on it. And they actually sold it.
Yes.
Yeah. That was big.
That's the one thing I do miss on the phones. They used to have the soundboard apps.
Yeah. You can still get them, I think.
I was looking for a Simpsons soundboard and I couldn't find one.
Oh, really? Yeah. Maybe you have to pay for it now or something. Like that. Yeah. Who knows?
I guess I'll have to dig deeper.
Yeah. And so we come back to the Simpsons house and Homer is telling Marge about his day. Right? He's like, and you didn't think I'd make any money. I found a dollar while I was waiting for the bus.
And Marge is like, well, you were earning that dollar. You lost $40 by not going to work. And the plant called and said, if you don't come in tomorrow, don't bother coming in Monday.
Which means he's going to be fired.
Yes.
But Homer says, woohoo, 4-day weekend.
Wow. Thinking they were just days off.
Yeah.
Not as in permanently off, right? Anyway, so next thing we know, we see Lisa in her room, and she's looking at all the trophies in her bookshelf. And she goes, hey, I am above average. So what if Allison's ahead of me? There's no shame in being second. And then we go into a little dream sequence.
Yes, and we're in this concert hall, and we hear the announcer. And now, Avis Rent-A-Car is proud to present the second best band in America. Will you welcome Garfunkel, Messina, Oates and Lisa singing their number two hit, Born to Runner Up.
And everyone is booing at them.
Yeah, and Lisa's just saying, why would they come to our concert just to boo us?
By the way, that's Avis Rent a Car.
Yeah, second to Enterprise or Hertz. I don't know which one's more.
Yeah. And then we have Garfunkel.
Of Simon and Garfunkel fame.
Messina from Loggins and Messina.
Yeah, well, let's say Paul Simon, you know, also.
Oh, yeah.
The more famous.
Yes, yes. Paul. Yeah. And then we have Oates.
Yeah.
From?
John Oates. Yeah, from Hall & Oates.
Yes.
I always thought Oates was cooler, but that's just me.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, Lisa being the other number two.
Yes.
That's good writing. I like
that. Yeah, that is. It's a very good gag right there.
And so she snaps out of it. Bart walks into her room. Right? She says, Lisa, I did some checking on this Allison character, and I know it's against all your moral fibers.
And Lisa grabs her. She says, give it to me. Hey, wait. There's nothing bad here.
Yep. She's clean as a bean. But I did tip off the feds as to the whereabouts of our good friend Milhouse.
So then we have another cut scene right here. And this
it's like
is,
a big dam, right?
Yeah, this is directly from, what's that movie? The Fugitive?
The Fugitive,
yeah. The Fugitive. And we see Milhouse in one of the pipes that I guess where the water leaks out from the dam. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm telling you, I didn't do anything.
The agent is there. I don't care.
So Milhouse turns around, looks down, and jumps off of the dam. Mm-hmm.
And then he's just yelling, ah, the way down, like, oh, and then you hear, ouch, my glasses.
he was being Thrill House up until that moment.
Yeah. Still awesome. He went for it.
Uh-huh. So Lisa crumples up the piece of paper, and she's like, I've got to stop being so petty. I should be Allison's friend and not her competitor. I mean, she's a wonderful person.
Versus, way to go, Lisa. I mean, why compete with someone who's just going to kick your butt anyway?
And Lisa says, I prefer my phrasing. So Lisa is trying to get over this, and she goes over to Allison's house.
Yes. And Allison greets her. She's like, it's great of you to come over, Lisa. I really want us to be friends.
And Lisa's like, you're a wonderful person.
Yeah, it's kind of disingenuous. Right?
And then we have this grown man walk in.
Mr. Taylor.
He's right? Like, hi, Lisa. I'm Allison's father, Professor Taylor.
Professor, excuse me.
I've heard great things about you.
And Lisa's like, oh, really? You know, she's very shy about it.
And he goes, don't be modest. I'm glad we have someone who can join us in our anagram game.
And Allison tells her what it is. We take proper names and rearrange the letters to form a description of that person.
And then Professor Taylor goes, like, or, I don't know, Alec Guinness.
And Allison thinks she says, genuine class.
Yes. By the way, who's Alec Guinness for our non-initiated fans out here?
It's Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan. The original Obi-Wan.
Yes. And I don't know. Well, I mean, I don't know. We'll have some bones to pick with Alec Guinness. He wasn't a fan of where the Star Wars franchise went and stuff like that. He had a lot of negative things to say about it.
We're all entitled to our opinions.
Wasn't it Sir?
Sir, yeah, it is
Sir Alec Guinness, yes, right? Yes. So you got to put the respect where it belongs.
Put respect on his name.
He is Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so he showed Luke the ways of the Force.
Yes, he did. So then Professor Telly goes, ho, ho, very good. All right, Lisa. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Irons.
Also an awesome actor.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa, if you can't think of anything, she says, Jeremy's iron?
So Professor Taylor goes, well, that's very good for a first try. You know what? I have a ball. And he pulls it out of his pocket. He's like, perhaps you'd like to bounce it.
Mm-hmm.
Treating her Lisa like
you poor thing.
Yes, yes.
And Jeremy Irons, by the way, for those of you that don't know, just you kids out there, the voice of Scar, right? The Lion King, the original Lion King.
Yes, he's been in a bunch of other movies. He's been on, he played the Pope.
Yeah. trying to remember, but yeah.
I forget his name. But yeah, his son was supposed to be rumored to be the original Antichrist and stuff like that. The Borgia.
Oh, okay.
He was the Borgias. That's the TV show. And he also read one of my favorite books, The Alchemist, for audiobook.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, he reads it very well.
It's Jeremy Irons' voice is, can't be understated.
No.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go into Allison's room, mm-hmm. and it's got all these trophies and ribbons, and everything's just shining everywhere, right? And Lisa walks around her room, and she sees a cardboard model there. She says, "What's this?"
And Allison goes, "Oh, it's for the school diorama competition."
And then Lisa's shocked, like, "You're finished already? But the competition isn't for weeks."
And then Allison goes, "Lisa, we're talking dioramas. Who could wait?
Nerd."
You took the words right out of my mind.
Yeah. More like Homer.
Nerd! So then Allison takes the time to explain her project. He's like, "I chose The Telltale Heart by Edgar Allan Poe. See, this is the bedroom where the old man was murdered. And he's buried under here under the floorboards. Ooh, and look, I used an old metronome to simulate the heartbeat that drove the killer insane." And she flicks the switch, and you can hear the tick.
Yep.
And she goes, "Ha ha, it's neat, huh?"
Yep. And Lisa's like, "Yeah, it's great. It's really great." She pulls out the ball and tries to bounce it. She's nervous and she drops it.
And Mr. Taylor goes, "Professor Taylor, right?" He's like, "Ooh, that got away from you, huh? Well, you keep at it."
So condescending. But yeah, good story, by the way. Telltale Heart. Pretty cool.
You know, back when kids were so desensitized.
Yeah. Oh, well. But alas, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we cut to the next day, and the sun is rising over Springfield, and Homer is sitting outside of his sugar mound with a club in his hand.
And this is my favorite scene from the whole episode. And Homer's kind of like dreaming, dozing, right? Yeah. Dreaming, and he's like, "Must protect sugar. Thieves everywhere. The strong must protect the sweet. The sweet."
And he starts snoring, right? And Marge walks out and says, "Homer?"
And then Homer starts again. "In America, first you get the sugar. Then you get the power. Then you get the women." And he starts to snore again.
Yeah, and Marge is like, Homer! She shakes him.
And Homer's like, what?
He's like, "I want you to forget about guarding the stupid sugar. You're being completely paranoid."
"Ooh, am I? Am I really? Aha!" And he reaches into the sugar pile and he pulls out a dude.
Like an English dude,
uh-huh.
I'm guessing. And he's holding up a teacup and a saucer and a hello.
And he goes, "All right, pal, where'd you get that sugar for that tea?"
"I nicked it when you let your guard down for that split second. And I do it again." And he sips his tea. "Goodbye." He takes off.
So then Homer's like, "See? You see, Marge? Did you see?"
Yeah. Marge says, "Homer, when are you going to give up this crazy sugar scheme?"
"Never, Marge. Never. I can't live the button-down life like you. I want it all. The terrifying lows, the dizzying highs, and the creamy middles. Sure, I might offend a few of the blue noses with my cocky stride and my musky odors. Oh, I'll never be the darling of the so-called city fathers who cluck their tongues and stroke their beards and talk about what's to be done with this Homer Simpson."
Marge just stops and says, "Look, just get rid of the sugar, okay?"
And Homer's like, "No!"
Marge takes off.
Mm-hmm.
And as she takes off, we see a swarm of bees fly into the shot. And they all land on the sugar. And Homer yells, "Hey, get off my sugar! Bad bees! Bad, bad!" And he starts swatting at him. And then you just hear him go, "Ow! Ow! Oh, they're defending themselves somehow." Oh, God, that's such a good scene.
Oh, you have to see it, kids.
Yes, you do.
It is so good.
It gets him right in the eye. It's so good. Somehow.
Mm-hmm. So next thing we know, we see Bart walking into Lisa's room to see what she's doing. Lisa goes, look, Bart, it almost killed me, but I handcrafted all 75 characters from Oliver Twist. And now, the coup de grace, a bitter snowstorm. So she, we see her turning on the fan, and she starts sprinkling confetti.
And it looks good. Both Bart and Lisa are like, oh. But as then...
I guess the fan was a little
too... Yeah, the diorama lifts up, and it flies out the window. And Bart, you hear Bart go, uh-oh, and you hear a crash.
Then Bart goes out to look, right, and Lisa's like, is it okay?
She says, well, the important thing is we survived.
Not a good sign.
Not a good sign at all. No.
So Lisa goes, oh, who am I kidding? There's no way I'm ever going to beat Allison.
She says, sure there is. But it involves being a bit underhanded, a bit devious, a bit, as the French say, Bartesque. I do like that line. It's good.
Bartesque. Yeah. So then Lisa goes, I'll do whatever it takes.
Then welcome to the nether regions of the soul. I do like that line.
Yes, yes. So then we see Bart closing the Venetian blinds, and he grabs a paper and a pencil. He's like, now, here's what we do. Tomorrow morning, when Allison comes out of her house, we spray her with the hose, soaking her from head to toe, leaving us relatively dry.
Lisa's relatively?
He's like, well, there's bound to be some splashback.
And Lisa's, Bart, her being wet won't help me win the competition.
Well, we could just sabotage your diorama, humiliating her in front of the students and faculty.
Perfect. And she's excited about that.
And then Bart goes, leaving her primed for the most dramatic hose soaking of her life.
Enough of the hose. Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh. Bart's set on that one.
Yep. So then we're at this business. Next thing we know, right, we're at this business called Goldboro Honey. And we see two beekeepers. And the first one goes, well, it sure is quiet in here today.
And the second guy is kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Eccentric? Like, yes, a little too quiet, if you know what I mean.
And then the guy goes, I'm afraid I don't.
Like, you see, bees usually make a lot of noise. No noise suggests no bees.
And then the first guy goes, oh, I understand now. Oh, look, there goes one now.
To the Beemobile.
You mean your Chevy?
Yes. I guess the guy just loves his job or something.
Uh-huh.
And so they actually track the bees down, and they're there at Homer's sugar pile.
So the first beekeeper again goes, well, very clever, Simpson. Lure our bees to your sugar pile and selling them back to us at an inflated price.
Homer just says, bees are on the wood now?
And then the second beekeeper goes, Simpson, you diabolical. We're willing to pay you $2,000 for the swarm.
Homer says, deal.
And you, as he's counting the money, the beekeeper's counting the money to pay Homer, it starts to rain.
And the beekeeper is about to pay Homer, and he stops and says, oh, wait a minute. The bees are leaving, because now the rain is falling on the sugar.
And Homer doesn't take this well at all.
No.
He goes, no, my sugar is melting, melting. Oh, what a world.
And the thief is there. He spits out his tea also. But yes, of course, Homer channeling his inner...
Mae West.
His Mae West, Wicked Witch of the West. Yes, Mae West.
Uh-huh.
Of course. And
Homer's like, my sugar's gone!
And Marge goes out, of course, to take care of him. And she says, you know, I'm sorry, Homer. She apologized to him.
And Homer's like, it's okay, Marge. I've learned my lesson. A mountain of sugar is too good for one man. It's clear now why God put them in tiny, why God portions them out into tiny packets.
There you go.
And why he lives in a plantation in Hawaii.
We got through that one.
Yes.
All right.
I'd like to get a pamphlet from Homer, just with all of Homer's philosophies.
Right.
It would be an interesting
read.
Not
living on a plantation in Hawaii somewhere.
Yep.
That'd be great. And so we cut to the next day, and it's the diorama contest, right? Everybody's in the gym, right? Looks like it. And Skinner's like, ah, diorama-rama, my favorite school event next to Hearing Test Thursday.
Again, what a square.
What a square.
So it's him and Miss Hoover that are walking up and down. I guess they are the judges. And they walk up to Nelson's diorama. And Miss Hoover goes, "The grapes of wrath? I don't get it."
So Nelson says, "Here's the grapes." And then he pulls out a mallet and he says, "And here's the wrath." And he smashes it and it goes everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And then Skinner goes, "Yes, yes, very good wrath."
And so we go to the next one. And Skinner says, "Ah, let's see. Our foreign exchange student, Uther, has chosen Charlie and the Chocolate Factory." He's like, and he picks it up. He's like, "But this is just an empty box."
And then Uther's like, "I begged you to look at mine first. I begged you."
Yes.
And his face is covered. His face and hands are covered in chocolate.
Yeah, it's very Augustus glue.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so as they're looking at this, Bart walks in and he's got a covered sheet, right? A little box. He says, "Lisa, here is, as the French say, le fake diorama. I'll create a diversion and you make the switch." And he walks to the center of the gym.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Hey, everybody. Whoa, look at me. I'm over here. Turn this way right now."
And then Sherry goes, "Hey, it's Bart."
And Milhouse is back. And he says, "And he's doing stuff." So everybody's now staring at Bart.
It's very easy to distract him because he's just basically doing the chicken noises and flapping his arms like wings.
Yep. Hey, but impressive. That means Milhouse got away.
Yes, he did. Again.
Again. Yep.
Right, he survived the jungle gym. He survived the dam. Mm-hmm. And now he's back at school.
Yep.
He's living up to Thrill House.
He's Thrill House today. Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. And so Skinner's had enough, right? Mm-hmm. He says, "Bart, stop creating a diversion and get out of here."
And then Bart kind of caws like a bird as he's leaving. Mm-hmm. And Miss Hoover goes, "Okay, our next entry is The Telltale Heart by Alison Taylor."
Skinner says, "I can't wait to see this." And he tells him, in, you know, very low, "Be ready with a ribbon." And so he pulls the cover off the diorama, and it's just a bloody heart.
And all the kids are like, "Ew!"
And Miss Hoover's like, "What is it?"
And then we see Bart in the background disguising his voice.
Yeah, and he's like, "It's a cow's heart." And then he does it again. He's like, "They try to make a monkey out of you."
Yeah, they
I don't know why he talked with that accent, but...
Very rednecky, right?
Yeah.
And we're not even in Spittle County with
exactly.
All of
Cletus ain't kids. Around, yeah.
Yep.
With all his kids.
Uh-huh. So then Skinner goes, "Allison, is this supposed to be some kind of joke?"
And she's shocked. She's like, "I didn't do that. I made a different one."
"Oh, is that so, young lady? Where is this phantom diorama?"
And she's just looking around. She's like, I don't know. And as this is going on, we cut to Lisa, and she starts hearing a heartbeat. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then Skinner is like just berating her at this point.
He says, "At least have the guts to take the blame, girl. You're only compounding your folly by lying about it."
Bart just says, "Right on!"
And Skinner keeps going, "Young lady, cow's hearts belong in butcher's windows, not in the classroom."
And Lisa's hearing the beating of the heart getting louder. Right?
And Skinner keeps going, "Well, maybe in an older kid's biology classroom. But that's none of my business. Elementary school is where I wound up, and it's too late to do anything about that." I guess he's working through his issues.
Yeah, real quick.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, like, what is it like, quite frankly, I'm starting to regret skipping you ahead.
Yes. And Allison kind of starts to cry. And Lisa's guilt is getting overwhelming at this point.
Yeah. And she's actually seeing it now, too. She sees the little trap door in the auditorium moving, just like in the story.
Yep.
And Lisa just loses it, and she yells out, "It's the beating of that hideous heart."
Everyone looks at her.
"I mean, I think I hear something." And she opens the little trap door. She says, "Why, here's Allison's real diorama. It got misplaced. Or so it would seem." Yeah.
It's really obvious who did that, by the way, now, right? Yep. So then Skinner goes, "Oh, well, that changes everything. Let's have a look." And she goes to Miss Skinner, "Get the ribbon ready."
Yeah, it's Miss Hoover.
Yeah. And then he walks up and he sees the diorama. He's like, a little sterile. No real insight. What do you think, Miss Hoover? And then Skinner goes, "Well, this has been a disappointing day. All right, on to Lisa Simpson."
Bart's like, "You're a shoo-in now, Lise."
And Lisa goes, "After the way I behaved, I don't deserve to win."
And as she says that, Skinner says, "Well, this doesn't deserve to win."
And Lisa's like, "What?"
So they move on to the next one, and I love Skinner here. Right? It's like, "Oh, now we're into the dregs." Just out loud. Here's Ralph Wiggum's entry, and he pulls the sheet off.
And he starts to freak out.
He says, prepackaged Star Wars characters? Still under display box? Are those the limited edition action figures?
And Rob is like, what's a diorama?
He said, why, it's Luke and Obi-Wan and my favorite, Chewie. They're all here. And he looks at Miss Hoover and says, what do you think?
And Miss Hoover's like, I think it's lunchtime.
We have a winner!
Of course, the Star Wars nerds get a big kick in.
I feel for Skinner in that one right there, man. Mm. You cut from the same cloth when it comes to that.
I hope your mom's not.
No. I can talk to the Sugar Man anytime I want.
Okay. So all of the kids start to cheer as Lisa and Allison look at each other and like, what the hell just happened, right? Mm. So it's after school now, and Lisa is apologizing to Allison for her behavior. She says, I'm really sorry about what I did, Allison. It's no shame in being second to you.
So Allison thanks her. She says, she's glad she lost. She says, now I know that losing isn't the end of the world. She says, do you think we can still be friends?
And Lisa goes, only if we're the best.
And then we get to another one of my favorite scenes of all time. Ralph skipping down the sidewalk singing, I beat the smart kids, I beat the smart kids. And then he trips. And then my other great line here, I bet my Wookiee. It falls on his toys.
Uh-huh. Oh, so Lisa goes, Lisa's like, hey, Ralph, want to come with me and Allison to play anagrams?
And Allison says, we take proper names and rearrange the letters to form a description of that person.
And Ralph, ever the genius, goes, my cat's breath smells like cat food.
And they all walk off together.
And we end the show this way. Yep. Ralph, is he operating the same plane of reality as we are?
I don't think so.
There's something off about that kid.
He's a sweet kid, but
yes,
that's the worst part of it. He's a sweet kid, but
it's not his fault. It really isn't. He's just paying for somebody else's mistakes somehow. Yes,
there's no maliciousness to that kid at all.
Nope. So, how would you rate this episode on a scale of 1 to 5 donuts?
This is one of my favorite episodes. It really is. It's a five donut episode for sure, and just personal favorite as well. Yeah, on its own, it's 5 stars, but yeah, personally, it's one of my favorites also.
Yeah, I have to admit that Scarface little thing
so good.
Is one of the best things The Simpsons ever done in my eyes. So just because of that, the sheer weight of that, it has to be a 5 donut episode for me too.
Yeah.
First you get the sugar, then you get the power. Then you get the winning.
I love it. Over Montana.
Yes.
But yeah. And of course, Skinner freaking out about the Star Wars figures is great. I love it.
Millhouses.
Oh, yes.
Odyssey.
Yeah, the FBI.
Uh-huh. Those U.S. Marshals after his ass, and they can't get him.
That's so good.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, Lisa, just the character development for Lisa in this is really good.
Yeah, she's usually Miss Goody Two Shoes, but now she's willing to do something underhanded to make sure that she stays.
And she's
I would say at the top of her social stratosphere.
She doesn't really have that.
No, it just would be her intellectual stratosphere.
Yeah, exactly.
In her mind. Mm-hmm.
And then Marge in her daydreams.
Oh.
Oh, Marge.
We haven't seen that side of Marge in a while.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. But yeah, it's definitely, there's so many good moments in this.
Yes. That underhanded, well, not underhanded, but that pirate joke that got stuck
in.
Oh,
my goodness.
I mean, it's just a great episode all around.
Yeah, the writing's fantastic.
Uh-huh. They found a way to make Lisa seem dumb compared to Allison.
Yeah.
Ooh, got away from you, didn't it?
Oh, the dad.
Just so condescending. Just a great episode all around.
Yes. Classic.
So it's a good start so far. For this season.
2 bangers.
Yes. Unfortunately, we have a real skunk coming up.
Oh, in your opinion, yes.
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 Because, I don't like clip shows.
He does not like clip shows.
Mm, not at all.
But it's not a clip episode. Or so the title would imply.
Yeah, the title says it's not, but it is. In my eyes, it qualifies as a clip show. Right, we'll get there when we get there.
You can rant next week.
Yes, yes.
You can tear it down mercilessly. Uh-huh.
But do you have anything else you'd like to say before we sign off for the week?
Nope, just hang in there, everybody.
Yes, I'd like to remind every one of you guys to hit up our show Instagram page, official_Homers_donuts, without the apostrophes. I like to post some original memes from time to time. I need to get better about that. And, of course, if you have any suggestions on how we can make the show better, you can leave me a DM there, and I'll get to it. Or you could really help out the show and leave us a 5-star rating if you want, or listen to this on Apple. Mm-hmm. Leave us a 5-star rating on there. I don't think Spotify allows you to do that.
Give us a follow.
Yeah, follow us on Spotify. Tell your friends about us. Right, mm-hmm. We're just a couple of idiots talking about The Simpsons, so we can forget about the real world for at least
an hour. So briefly.
Yes, yes. But, you know, I don't think you object to the description of a couple of idiots talking about this.
No, I fully endorse this.
Yes, yes. I don't like to take myself seriously when I'm doing this. So if you have nothing else, until next week, au revoir, suckers.